It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time, now 6:30.
It's 60 degrees.
Freeways all looking great right now. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
KSL's top story this hour.
Utah has more money to fight wildfires next year because of a better-than-expected season so far this year.
KSL News Radio's Mary Richards is live with more. Mary?
Amanda, there have been some troubles this summer. For example, the fire at the wetlands in Kaysville and Farmington on Saturday could be seen for miles, heavy smoke and ash after that lightning strike.
And we saw, and it just stayed there for a while.
And that one, again, caused by lightning, but then the rain helped put it out. Nearly 40% of the fires this year were human-caused, and the state responded to more than 1,000 fires around Utah. But it has been a lot more mild than previous years, July and August being a lot better, too. The Tribune says that means there's a surplus of up to $22 million in the firefighting budget for next year. Live, Mary Richards, KSL News Radio.
A few heavy rainfalls this summer slightly improved Utah's water supply, but not enough to keep us out of extreme or exceptional drought status.
KSL News Radio's Heather Kelly is live with what some water planners want to do. Heather?
Well, Amanda, Lake Powell will be so low by May, there won't be enough water to generate hydropower at Glen Canyon Dam. That's according to the Colorado River Authority Commissioner, Gene Shawcroft. He tells the Salt Lake Tribune they are releasing nearly 200,000 acre-feet of water from Flaming Gorge and a couple other reservoirs to try and prevent that from happening. The plan has some on Utah's Water Development Commission to look at damming more of Utah's rivers to try and store more water for the state. But others say as Utah continues its population growth, the water can be diverted from farmland irrigation since much of it is being taken over with subdivisions and shopping malls. Live, Heather Kelly, KSL News Radio.
KSL's top national stories this hour. Texas and Louisiana still getting hammered by rains from Hurricane Nicholas this morning. Here's ABC's Andrew Dimbert.
What's left of Hurricane Nicholas is expanding and slowing to a crawl, posing a major flash flood threat from New Orleans to the Florida Panhandle. In Louisiana, widespread rainfall of 5 to 10 inches is possible, including in New Orleans. Areas prone to flooding outside the city could see up to 20 inches. It comes as people there still cope with the effects of Hurricane Ida. Just over 2 weeks after that storm, nearly 100,000 customers in southeast Louisiana remain without power.
ABC News Chief Meteorologist Ginger Zee is in St. John the Baptist Parish, Louisiana, where rebuilding has become routine.
In the last 2 years, so since Barry in 2019, 10 storms have impacted Louisiana alone. It is surreal, and I can't imagine the folks here. I've been speaking to neighbors. They are tired.
Some residents east of New Orleans are still without electricity more than 2 weeks after Hurricane Ida.
KSL Weather with Grant Wayman. Get ready for the arrival of fall-like temperatures.
Very nice and warm. The next several days here, good weather for the fair. We're maybe getting some stuff done outside. Walks in the evening and morning going to be nice and cool like it's been. But by the first of next week, a more significant change, big drop in temperature. So we probably don't get above 70 on Monday, Tuesday. And right now we're kind of keeping our eyes on possibility of some showers to go along with it on Monday. And yep, if it gets that cool here, that would mean some mountain snow.
Grant says we're going to see a little smoke working its way back into the Wasatch Front today and tomorrow.
U.S. Central Command is investigating a strike on the suspected ISIS-K operative. The New York Times says it was actually a U.S. aid worker. Here's ABC Chief Global Affairs Correspondent Martha Raddatz with the details.
The deadly U.S. drone strike came just 3 days after a suicide bomber killed 13 American service members and some 170 Afghans at the Kabul airport.
No, it's a righteous strike.
What the Pentagon thought were explosives may have been water canisters loaded by the driver, Zemrai Aghmadi, and his colleague who worked for an American aid agency.
The U.S. does not have investigators on the ground in Kabul, and the Pentagon continues to insist this strike was justified.
The latest government data shows median household income went down by just below 3% in 2020. That's the first significant annual decline in median household income since 2011. But rising costs seem to be cooling off.
The latest consumer price index data is a really good example of this. Prices overall, they still went up 5.3% in August compared to a year ago. That's a pretty big increase on a yearly rate. But on a monthly basis, we saw prices go down in a lot of those categories that have been really kind of juiced over the past several months. So, for example, airfares, those dropped 9.1% in August, airfare prices. Rental car prices, 8.5% lower. You know, hotel prices were down. Used car prices, something that we've talked about.
ABC's Elizabeth Schulze reporting.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.